how terrible it will be for you experts in religious law, for you hide the key to knowledge from the people. You don't enter the kingdom yourselves, and you prevent others from entering. Luke 11:52 NLT. The question: the Jewish scribes and lawyers had a perfect theological knowledge of the Old Testament, but Jesus said, "Woe unto you, for ye have taken away the key of knowledge." The idea that Jesus condemned the scribes and Pharisees because they did not believe in him in the manner proclaimed by modern Christians has absolutely no basis in biblical fact. When it is realized that the original gospel accounts portrayed Jesus as a man who fulfilled the law within himself to become the anointed, see, and that the virgin birth account, which was a later addition, is purely allegorical and was not part of the original gospels, see virgin birth, then a totally different gospel objective begins to emerge. And in not understanding the original objectives that very quickly became altered and corrupted, the Christian world has itself thrown away the key of knowledge. The answer: what is ignored by the Christian world is the reality that Jesus condemned the leaders of the Jews because they had thrown away the key of knowledge and by so doing had inhibited the people from fulfilling the objective of the scriptures, which was to enter into the true spiritual promised land, which Jesus portrayed as the kingdom, a kingdom that Jesus stated was within each person. When Jesus said that the blind guides should first remove the beam from their own eyes, before they attempt to remove the splinters from the eyes of their brothers and sisters, he was making reference to their own inherent organic blindness caused by their failure to properly utilize the scriptures in conjunction with the proper use of the key of knowledge. The proper application of the key of knowledge, in the same way that Jesus expected the leaders of the Jews to properly apply the key of knowledge and enter the inner kingdom, see, and thereby become enlightened to the truth directly from the source of all truth, see the true prophet. In their failure to properly apply the key of knowledge, they made themselves blind guides who were leading the people in the wrong direction down what Jesus called the broad way of destruction, making themselves apostates to the kingdom of God. Thus, the reality of the crucial questions that modern Christians close their eyes to is this. 1. How did the Pharisees and Jewish authorities hide the key to knowledge from the people? 2. Why did Jesus condemn the leaders of the Jews for failing to enter the kingdom themselves? That is, you don't enter the kingdom yourselves. And 3. How did the religious leaders of the Jews prevent others from entering? That the primary objective of the gospel is to prepare and enable the seeker/disciple to enter the kingdom is further demonstrated in Jesus' condemnation of the blind religious leaders as seen in the words, "Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You shut the kingdom of heaven in men's faces. You yourselves do not enter, nor will you let those enter who are trying to." Matt 23:13 NIV. Which means that the kingdom of God is not something that will come as we wait for it to arrive in this world, which Jesus portrayed as the far country, but rather, it is a reality which man must seek, find and enter, which is why Jesus warned that those who do not themselves pick up their own cross and travail in the way are neither believers or worth to be called his disciples and followers. Allegorically, the restoration of the prodigal son to his rightful place in the kingdom is portrayed as the resurrection, and that this resurrection can only be attained and brought about while in the body vessel, as demonstrated in the statement of the Gospel of Philip in the warning. Those who say that first they shall die, and then they shall arise, are confused. If they do not first receive the resurrection, while they live, they will not receive anything. When they die, see Gospel of Philip. But perhaps even more important is the fact that the Christians, like the Jews before them, have themselves thrown away the key of knowledge, and they have promoted the doctrines and traditions of pagan Rome. The Christians have preached a doctrine where they teach the people to commit apostasy, where they crucify the Son of God on their own account and hold him up to contempt, and as an apostate to the new covenant. Paul warns that there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins, see, and like the carnal Jews whose heart was hardened by their apathetic ways, they condemn the truth and the gospel objectives as heresy. Can we just read the text literally? The question should be posed: can we just read the literal text of the scriptures and know the truth in the manner that Christians attempt to do today? Paul called the written words of the scriptures the letter that killeth, 2 Cor 3, 6. Because most of the literal written word that appeared to be historical was little more than Jewish fables. Titus 1:14. He warned the baptized believers at Corinth that until they undergo the necessary process of spiritual transformation, that their natural organic mind will be incapable of understanding the true meaning of the gospel, see mystery, and they will look upon the mysteries of God as foolishness, that is. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. To ignore this warning by Paul, as well as a parallel warning by Jesus himself, and a warning by Peter and all the early elders and leaders of the church, is to cast oneself into a spiritual diaspora of profound ignorance that will be near impossible to emerge from, that is, biblically portrayed as the broad way of death. Further, unlike the modern believer, the above words were written by Paul to a congregation of Christians who he, Paul, had himself taught the meaning of the gospel. And what Paul was stating was that it would be impossible for them to understand the true meaning of the gospel, until which time their minds became transformed and evolved into a state of spiritual maturity that would enable them to perceive and understand what was incomprehensible to those Christians who could only comprehend the gospel and the meaning of the scriptures from a human physical perspective. And this fact was confirmed by Jesus in the parable of the sower and the seed when he warned those who had received the word, and he said unto them, Know ye not this parable? And how then will ye know all parables? Mark 4:13 KJV. And to put this great biblical truth in the more modern language of the New Living Translation, but if you can't understand this story, how will you understand all the others I am going to tell? And what this means is that if you fail to understand and put into practice the essential teachings of the parable of the sower and the seed in every aspect of your life, that there is no means for you to perceive and comprehend anything beyond what Paul portrayed as the letter that killeth, 2 Cor 3:6, which was in fact the plight of the Pharisees who had thrown away the key of knowledge. Using the key of knowledge, what is perfectly clear from the statement that Jesus made to the Pharisees is this, that while they, the Pharisees, were in possession of what Jesus portrayed as the key of knowledge, their heresy was seen in the fact that they failed to properly utilize what Jesus portrayed as the key for its intended purpose, which was to reveal the true spiritual meaning of the scriptures, which then enabled the seeker/disciple the ability to unlock the inner door, narrow straight gate, and enter into the kingdom that Jesus declared was within each person. But the problem was seen in the fact that the Jews, like the modern Christians, ignored Jesus' statement that the kingdom would never come upon the earth in the manner that carnal men look for it, because the kingdom was within them. Luke 17:20-21. Jesus portrayed the leaders of the Jews as blind guides who hindered the people's entrance into the kingdom, because the leaders among the Jews interpreted the scriptures outwardly in ritual and tradition, promoting the scriptures as historical accounts versus spiritual accounts, and that they failed to turn the scriptures within self, properly utilizing the key of knowledge to unlock the door to the kingdom within, is in fact why Jesus condemned the Pharisees for cleansing the outside of the cup while ignoring the inside. That the scriptures must be turned within is the reason why Jesus condemned the whole system of animal sacrifice in a temple made with the hands of men. The Most High does not dwell in temples made with hands. Acts 7:48. Do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? 1 Cor 3:16 and KJV. And this is demonstrated in the account of the final temple that is, quoting, with the destruction, G.D. destroyed the physical temple and made it a spiritual place. We cannot find G.D. in Jerusalem. We must find him in us. With the destruction, G.D. destroyed the physical temple and made it a spiritual place. He took that window and placed it within us. Instead of traveling to Jerusalem, G.D. wanted us to find him in our inner Jerusalem. No, our bodies are our temples. Our souls are our windows. Our minds are our kahanim, and our animal instincts are our sacrifices. We cannot offer physical sacrifices 3 times a day, but we can pray 3 times a day. We cannot attend temple services 3 times a day, but we can tap into our souls 3 times a day. We cannot atone for our shortcomings by sacrificing animals, but we can sacrifice our inner animals or hormones, our lusts, our desires, our beastly compulsions. We cannot find GD in Jerusalem. We must find him in us, and thus, when the scriptures are properly understood in their spiritual meaning, they are an allegorical presentation that contains within the body of the text the esoteric knowledge that is necessary to build the final living temple within oneself in order to fulfill the gospel objectives and permit the prodigal son to return to the Edenic kingdom from which he originally emerged. The scriptures declare that the Lord is at the door, and this door to the kingdom is within, and can only be opened when you utilize the scriptures as the key of knowledge. But this requirement can only be achieved by becoming the good ground in the parable of the sower and the seed bringing forth the necessary spiritual fruit that enables the seeker to pick up their own cross and travail in the way achieving the next stage of birth in the kingdom. Spiritual Jews such as the Essenes knew all along that the whole of the written text of the scriptures was allegorical, that is, tell me, ye that desire to be under the law, do ye not hear the law? And then Paul goes on to explain to those who want to attempt to read the written word of the scriptures literally, as if they were an historical account. For it is written that Abraham had two sons, the one by a bondmaid, the other by a free woman. But he who was of the bondwoman was born after the flesh, but he of the free woman was by promise. Which things are an allegory, Gal 4:21-24 KJV. And that the account of Abraham is an allegory that preserved and conceals a deeper spiritual truth that is not apparent to those who see only the letter of the written word, means that everything contained in the scriptures is also allegorical. And those who see only what Paul portrayed as the letter that killeth, 2 Cor 3:6, and Jewish fables, Titus 1:14, remain deceived and spiritually disenfranchised in their carnal interpretations of the scriptures. That the scriptures had to be turned within one's own body and mind, as the seeker/disciple strives to open the inner narrow gate that provides entrance to the kingdom, that is, enter by the narrow gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it. Because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. Matt 7:13-14 NKJ. While the reasons why the scriptures were and are written in this allegorical manner is explored in the article An Inconvenient Truth, the fact that even those Christians who Paul personally taught were incapable of understanding the higher reality of the soul and the mysteries of the kingdom, see mysteries of the gospel, meant that it was impossible to compose a writing where the higher spiritual truths were presented literally, so they could be read and understood by man in his organic condition of mind. Why is it important to understand the inner meaning of the scriptures? In the parable of the wedding feast and the call, see the call, those who failed to put on the required wedding garment of purity were cast out into the outer darkness. In many respects, this blindness and condition of mind which Jesus portrayed as the outer darkness can be compared to the illusions of Plato's cave, see analogy of the cave, and as those who have themselves walked the spiritual path of the way have learned, the reality of this world can be portrayed as the womb of Mother Earth. But what does this mean? In the same way that the physical womb of your mother was a place where the male and female essence could be joined together as O and E into an embryo, and this physical womb then supplied the necessary environment and nutrients to form and grow the embryonic self into a fetus and baby, a mental womb supplies the necessary environment and nutrients for the mental self to develop in accord with the same pattern. That man and woman exist on a higher level than their original sperm and ovum does not negate the pattern of the laws that bring about the next stage of birth at the level of mind. As modern science has already proven, what man sees as concrete matter is in reality aspects of mind impressed into allegorical forms and symbols of nature that reveal to the seeker/disciple the forces and laws operating within their own mind and being. See the illusion of the forms of matter. And of an even greater importance is the reality that the code that is necessary to use is found embedded in the inner meaning of the scriptures, a code that was implanted in what appears on the surface to be historical narratives or, in the case of what is often called Gnostic scriptures, the allegorical portrayal of the cosmic forces of the universe. And the application of this code that enables the seeker/disciple to overcome and prevail over the forces and laws that are operating within their own mind and being was called by Jesus the key of knowledge. And what this means is that the scriptures are not at all what they appear to be on the surface, see an inconvenient truth, but rather, the scriptures are as a primer and textbook that the seeker slash disciple of the way uses to overcome the outer darkness of mind and being escape the world of illusions as portrayed in Plato's cave, which enables the person to bring about the next stage of birth and be reunited with their true self, soul self, in what Jesus portrayed as the kingdom within. Why can it be said that all of mankind dwell in a state of dark ignorance, under the power of the consciousness, God, of this world, outer darkness slash cave of illusions? Because all that a person sees and perceives with their organic senses and physical mind as they look out into nature and the cosmos is a world of allegorical illusions that they fail to understand the meaning of. To the degree that the Apostle Peter stated to his disciple Clement with respect to learning directly from what the first followers of Jesus portrayed as the true prophet, hence, O beloved Clement, if you would know the things pertaining to God, you have to learn them from him alone, because he alone knows the truth. For if anyone else knows anything, he has received it from him or from his disciples, see true prophet. And that man in his organic state of mind is incapable of understanding the true meaning and reality of the symbols of both this world and the textbook of symbolism which man calls the scriptures, is demonstrated in the words of Peter when he warns that, therefore great care is to be taken, that when the law of God is read, it be not read according to the understanding of our own mind. For there are many sayings in the divine scriptures which can be drawn to that sense which everyone has preconceived for himself. And this ought not to be done. For you ought not to seek a foreign and extraneous sense, which you have brought from without. See the spiritual disenfranchisement of the mind. And what this statement warns is that because the people of this world rely upon their natural organic senses and mind to assess what they think they see, failing to distinguish and understand that they dwell in a world of allegorical symbolism and forms that are an illusion slash illusion, that all those who base their conclusions and assumptions on human, organic, perception and reasoning will remain dwelling under the cloak of ignorance in the outer darkness within the cave of illusions. And this is why Jesus taught his disciples to seek out and learn only from the one teacher who is the true prophet, who is the only source of knowledge. Why can't we just read and understand the scriptures? If Peter's foregoing words are true that the human slash historical slash literal sense of the scriptures is always in error, and the true meaning of the scriptures can only be revealed by using the key of knowledge to connect to the one teacher and true prophet, then everything that both believers and non-believers think they know about the message and meaning of the scriptures is little more than man-made dogmatic error. Therefore, with respect to the proper use of the key of knowledge and the reality of the one teacher and true prophet within one's own mind and being, the Church Father Origen wrote in De Principis where he writes, but all the narrative portion, relating either to the marriages, or to the begetting of the children, or to battles of different kinds, or to any other histories whatever, what else can they be supposed to be, save the forms and figures of hidden and sacred things? As men, however, make little effort to exercise their intellect, or imagine that they possess knowledge before they really learn, the consequence is that they never begin to have knowledge, or if there be no want of a desire, at least, nor of an instructor. And if divine knowledge be sought after, as it ought to be, in a religious and holy spirit, and in the hope that many points will be opened up by the revelation of God, since to human sense they are exceedingly difficult and obscure, then, perhaps, he who seeks in such a manner will find what it is lawful to discover. What does this mean? If it is our desire to possess what we can call genuine knowledge, that is, to begin to perceive the mysteries of God, which the Apostle said was beyond the natural perception of man, and we want to know anything of any real value with respect to who we are, and what is our true relationship to both Jesus and our Creator God that Jesus taught was our Father, then it is absolutely necessary and of the highest importance that we contemplate what we see in the above words by the Church Father Origen. The first statement that is in total conflict with the quasi-Darwinist mindset with which we were imbued with since childhood from our modern-day culture is the words that few men even imagine that they possess knowledge before they really learn. When it is realized that the whole of our culture, our systems of education and religion, are all based upon the paradigm of the child's mind being empty and in need of being taught, then it must be recognized that the whole of our culture is a spiritual detriment to all of mankind. Thus, we must pose the question, how is it that we could possess knowledge before we even begin to learn? Moreover, how can it be said that because we fail to recognize this fact, that the consequence is that they never begin to have knowledge? What is clear is that the foundational paradigm of thinking and life of Origen and the apostles was representative of a totally different perception than we have today. And in recognizing this fact, we must then pose the question, does the scriptures, which are written in the manner that they are from a totally different foundational paradigm of thinking and life, have any relevance to modern man who has been programmed to think from a totally opposite perspective? Sadly, the answer is no, and this fact is thoroughly explored in the article An Inconvenient Truth. And because we think and understand life from a reverse perspective than that of the biblical authors, we must recognize why Origen stated that men, however, make little effort to exercise their intellect. Don't we exercise our intellect? How can Origen even make such a statement? The answer is that we not only think in reverse of the biblical authors, but our reverse thinking process has bound and shackled us to the limitations of our physical body consciousness, which is incapable of comprehending the higher reality of the soul and what Paul portrayed as the mysteries of the kingdom. See Gospel Mysteries. Paul states that a man who promotes a sect or argues over the meaning of the written text of the scriptures is a divisive person who is sinning and has been turned out of the way. Titus 3, 9-10. Paul portrays those who observe the days, months and seasons of the scriptures as being bound by the flesh, further stating that the scriptures are an allegory, Gal 4:24. And with respect to the spiritual meaning of the allegorical written text, Origen confirms in the above that but all the narrative portion, relating either to the marriages, or to the begetting of the children, or to battles of different kinds, or to any other histories whatever, what else can they be supposed to be? Save the forms and figures of hidden and sacred things. Where Paul states that the account of Abraham and his two sons are an allegory which has a purely spiritual meaning, Origen further explains that all the biblical references to marriages and the begetting of children, and the depiction of the many battles, has nothing to do with historical events, but rather, are the forms and figures of hidden and sacred things. The problem is that in order to begin to understand the true meaning of these sacred symbols and forms that can only be presented to organic man in allegorical accounts, that man must begin to utilize those parts of our mind that is beyond the less than 10% level which nature permits him to use. Moreover, the key is found in the words, as men, however, make little effort to exercise their intellect, or imagine that they possess knowledge before they really learn. The consequence is that they never begin to have knowledge, or if there be no want of a desire, at least, nor of an instructor. Who is the instructor that Origen is making reference to? The true prophet that Jesus commanded his followers and disciples to seek out, see true prophet. And this can only be accomplished through the proper application of the key of knowledge. When Paul warned that the natural mind of man was incapable of comprehending the higher reality of the soul, the mysteries of the kingdom, and the true reasons for man's sojourn in this world, which Jesus portrayed in the parable of the prodigal son as the far country, without understanding the important reasons why it is impossible for the organic mind of man to comprehend his own higher reality, mankind will remain lost and wandering in this world in pursuit of a spiritual reality that he can never achieve. Because the truth could not be literally written. Judaism was therefore what is known as a mystery religion, and the common Jews were used in the manner of mules who preserved their scriptural Trojan horse. For those who were intelligent enough not to be seduced by the absurdities of the written text, see An Inconvenient Truth. In the words of Moses Maimonides, one of the most respected of Jewish theologians, historian, and Talmudist, where he writes about the nature of scripture, every time that you find in our books a tale the reality of which seems impossible, a story which is repugnant to both reason and common sense, then be sure that the tale contains a profound allegory veiling a deeply mysterious truth. And the greater the absurdity of the letter, the deeper the wisdom of the spirit. The objective of Judaism is to become transformed into spiritual Israel. In the exact same manner as the enlightened Jewish rabbis, The early Christian church Father Origen writes, "It is sufficient, however, to represent in the style of a historic narrative what is intended to convey a secret meaning in the garb of history, that those who have the capacity may work out for themselves all that relates to the subject, and with regard to what would otherwise be historical symbols and events that would appear to us as the knowledge of superficial episodes of the past." Origen writes, "I believe that every man must hold these things for images, under which the hidden sense lies concealed." Origen, Hutt. Prygeniana, 167 Frank, page 142. Students of Hebrew mysticism will perceive that what the 3rd century Christian church Father Origen wrote was no different than what is contained in the Zohar, where it states, "The narratives of the doctrine are its cloak. The simple look only on the garment, that is upon the narrative of the doctrine, more they know not. The instructed, however, see not merely the cloak, but what the cloak covers." The Jewish mystic who spends his life seeking the inner meaning of the written word that the natural mind of man is incapable of seeing, has warned, "Thus the tales related in the Torah are simply her outer garments, and woe to the man who regards that outer garb as the Torah itself, for such a man will be deprived of portion in the next world." The Zohar quoted in "No Jew Has Read the Torah." Peter said what appears to be historical never happened. Paul called the literal text an allegory. These same truths are again conveyed to us in the words of the church historian Eusebius. Many were led astray by reading the allegorical contents of the scriptures literally in the method of the Pharisees and Sadducees. What these symbols truly mean is perhaps best expressed by G.R.S. Mead in his celebrated work, Fragments of a Faith Forgotten, where he explained that, once properly understood, the true meaning of what is projected onto the screen of the scriptures was in reality a picture of their, man's, own minds. The church Father Origen went one step further and reasoned that, what man has found such an idiot as to believe these forms and symbols literally, and not to understand, that every man must hold these things for images, under which the hidden sense lies concealed? See mystery. While the modern church which, like the Pharisees before them who attempts to interpret the scriptures historically / literally as blind guides who has thrown away the key of knowledge, even adopting the folly of the Augustinian doctrine of original sin and the tenets of pagan Roman redemption and sacrifice, that the modern reader remains totally blind to the true meaning of the scriptures which Paul warns is an allegory. The church Father Origen further explains, since, then, it was the intention of the Holy Spirit to enlighten with respect to these and similar subjects those holy souls who had devoted themselves to the service of the truth, this object was kept in view, in the second place, for the sake of those who either could not or would not give themselves to this labor and toil by which they might deserve to be instructed in or to recognize things of such value and importance, to wrap up and conceal, as we said before, in ordinary language, under the covering of some history and narrative of visible things, hidden mysteries. There is therefore introduced into the narrative of the visible creation, and the creation and formation of the first man, then the offspring which followed from him in succession, and some of the actions which were done by the good among his posterity, are related, and occasionally certain crimes also, which are stated to have been committed by them as being human, and afterwards certain unchaste or wicked deeds also are narrated as being the acts of the wicked. The description of battles, moreover, is given in a wonderful manner, and the alternations of victors and vanquished, by which certain ineffable mysteries are made known to those who know how to investigate statements of that kind. By an admirable discipline of wisdom, too, the law of truth, even of the prophets, is implanted in the scriptures of the law, each of which is woven by a divine art of wisdom, as a kind of covering and veil of spiritual truths. And this is what we have called the body of scripture, so that also, in this way, what we have called the covering of the letter, woven by the art of wisdom, might be capable of edifying and profiting many, when others would derive no benefit. Thus, the body of the scriptures, which are not necessarily historically accurate, are capable of edifying and profiting many by the reading of the literal word. Yet, as the believer matures, he begins to realize that the endless exposé of wars, genealogies, and stories of carnal strife against divine providence, are absolutely meaningless in the life of the disciple. As he begins to spiritually develop and starts to experience a shift in perception, he begins to realize that these wars, genealogies, and strife in the flesh have great meaning within his own mind and being. As he travails to overcome his carnal nature in his quest to enter the spiritual kingdom of his soul.
What,
therefore, the carnal believer blindly sees as history, the disciple sees as great spiritual truths that are imparted to him in his pursuit of spiritual perfection and manifestation. What remains totally ignored by both the modern believer and biblical critic is presented in the words of Origen, where he writes that the scriptures contain many places where what is written literally could not have happened. In examination of this statement, we ask why? Why not create a written word that was totally factual? The answer that Origen provides to this question is once again very simple. But as if, in all the instances of this covering, that is, of this history, the logical connection and order of the law had been preserved, we would not certainly believe, when thus possessing the meaning of Scripture in a continuous series, that anything else was contained in it save what was indicated on the surface. So for that reason, divine wisdom took care that certain stumbling blocks, or interruptions, to the historical meaning should take place by the introduction into the midst of the narrative of certain impossibilities and incongruities, that in this way the very interruption of the narrative might, as by the interposition of a bolt, present an obstacle to the reader, whereby he might refuse to acknowledge the way which conducts to the ordinary meaning, and being thus excluded and debarred from it, we might be recalled to the beginning of another way, in order that, by entering upon a narrow path, and passing to a loftier and more sublime road, he might lay open the immense breadth of divine wisdom. In the same way that when a beast becomes conditioned to its environment, when the mind of man is ruled over by his lower animal nature, he will believe virtually anything that is, pagan sacrifices, virgin sacrifices, belief in a warring and conquering God, belief in a vengeful God that is even more evil than the most vile of mankind. As stated above, the Apostle Peter warns that the enigmas of the Scriptures, which he portrays as the mystery of the books with the power to deceive, see power to deceive, were intentionally inserted into the body of the text as a test to the reader. Peter portrays the Gentiles as being easily deceived because they are accustomed to believing bad things about God. Thus, the God of the Old Testament has been insightfully portrayed as resembling the Wizard of Oz, that is, a magical nutcase behind the curtain who liked physical circumcision, genocide of non-Jews including killing every woman and child a God who made man, then repented he even made man and killed everyone on earth but Noah and his immediate family a God who kills a man for trying to steady the ark, a voodoo God who loves animal sacrifice and blood sprinkling, a God who sacrifices his son. The scriptures are very clear. It's all allegorical about the kingdom within. The reader is warned in John 6:63, that reading the scriptures literally has no profit at all, the flesh profiteth nothing, and leaves the reader spiritually bankrupt. It is the spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit, and they are life.